about trusting the Lord. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with that, to trust in our Lord. I know it's something that we're just supposed to do, right? We're commanded to trust our Lord. But it's not always that easy. There's a lot of things that get in the way. So we're going to take a look at tonight, if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, and if you don't have one, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you one. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be looking mainly at 5 through 7. But we're going to take a quick overview of the entire chapter. But let's pray. Father, I want to lift up our pastor to you tonight. I pray that you would heal him, encourage him, Lord, and give him just a great sense of rest and peace with a sense of your presence with him, Lord. Just minister to him tonight as he pours so much of himself into you and then pouring your word into us. Tonight, Lord, I pray that your word would do its perfect work. It would just do a work in our hearts, Lord, a work that draws us close to you, a work that has us doing what we hear and not just being hearers of the word, Lord, but doers. Lord, I again thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that tonight we would feel that presence here, that koinonia with you and with one another. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you're there at Proverbs 3, if you're not, please turn there. Believing in God takes a measure of faith. I think we all know that. But trusting in God through life's ups and downs sometimes requires a continual application of that faith. We got to continue to walk in faith. And as most of you here know, faith comes by hearing by. Where's it at? Very good. Romans. Oh, that was good. Well, the desire sometimes to take things into our own hands, it can be very strong at times, even overwhelming. But from God alone comes true prosperity, true help. He knows the right way to the right ends. He knows what benefits us. He's able to free us from that which does us harm. Therefore, it is our act of worship to place our confidence completely in him and to trust not in our own understanding, as we're going to see here in Proverbs 3. I think it's a big problem for me today in today's world is trusting too much in what I think should be done or what I feel should be done and not trusting enough in what the Lord has guided us or put upon our hearts to do. So what does it mean really then to trust in the Lord? Well, the word trust has different meanings in the Hebrew. In our text tonight, it comes from a word called batak. And batak means to have confidence in the Lord. It also is defined as having a security in God. And I'm grateful for that security in him. You know, our Lord, his word, truth, that you're holding in your hands, it is the only thing that you can wake up tomorrow to and know it hasn't changed. Only thing. You will change. I will change. The way we think may change. The world will change. Our bank accounts will change. Our jobs could change. Our health could change. The list goes on and on. But when I wake up tomorrow, I can trust in my Lord because of the very fact his word is true and it remains true yesterday, today, and forever. It's unchanging. So I'm thankful that I have this as my hope. But now I have to learn to have that attitude all the time. Not just when I'm feeling good or when things are going real good between the Lord and I or things are going good at work or so, but in those times when things aren't going so well, when we really need to trust in our Lord. Batak, the word for trust, in this sense means to be inwardly assured that God will do whatever he has promised as long as we acknowledge him. That's another key we're going to see in our text tonight. According to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, they wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's talking about his people when we trust in the Lord. The word trust here is yakal, which means to patiently wait on the Lord. The Yakal trust, patiently waiting, gives to you and I strength and ability to endure without quitting. You know, the Bible says that we're not to grow weary in doing what is good or what is right. And if we try to do things in our own strength, we will falter. We will get tired. We will grow weary. But if we trust in the Lord, he's our strength and he will sustain us. Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 It gives us a blueprint on how to be led by the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. To trust in the Lord, in verse 5, this is the key to our relationship with God. To trust in him with all our heart, not just part of it, not just some of it, but all of it. We know from the New Testament that this can only be accomplished as trusting in the Lord through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's who gives us our strength. Before I knew Christ, I didn't have the strength to do any of this here. I did just the opposite, as many of you did too. But with Christ now, the Bible says in Christ we can do all things. So we need to trust and rely upon our Lord. Secondly, it says, lean not on your own understanding, also in verse 5. Once we are trusting in the Lord, we must be aware or conscious not to trust in anything else, including our own understanding or our self-confidence. Now, I know a lot of us don't like to admit that, but I'm very proud. I think I can accomplish a lot on my own. And when I look at the things in over my life that I've accomplished on my own and I compare it to what God's done since the day I got saved, there is no comparison. None. Without God, we're lost. We're weak. We're vulnerable. But with God, we have strength. We have guidance. We can do anything the Lord has called us to do because he will equip us to do it. But we have to trust him. The beginning of that verse, trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding or your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And it says he will direct our path. Our understanding, our self-confidence, it's limited. It's based on limited knowledge, which is sometimes faulty. I don't know about you, but how many mistakes in your life have you made because of things you thought were right, only to come to find out they were not? And we pay a consequence for it. Well, when we trust in other things, they can deceive us into thinking that God is leading us when in fact he is not. I've been there, right? I thought the Lord was leading me in a direction, and it wasn't. After all, and then I looked back and I realized I didn't spend time in prayer. I didn't spend the time trusting him, and I didn't spend time acknowledging him. Why? Because I was leaning on my understanding of the situation. So it's very important that you and I as believers, we learn to trust in our Lord. And then part of that is not leaning on our own understanding. It's a huge part. And then in all our ways, we're told next in verse 6, that we're to acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to recognize the authority or claim of and to express thanks for. Therefore, always give credit to God and not to anyone or anything else, including self. Remember, every good and perfect gift comes from above. The song that we sang tonight, Father of Lights. It all comes from the Lord. As he opens doors and he blesses you and I, we must be sure to give him the glory. That's really important in this section of Scripture. We're in trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, acknowledging him, letting him know that he's right in all things. And we need to surrender to that. That's part of our worship to the Lord, is surrendering to him. Another thing that's not easy for us to do. But with his help, as we draw close to him in the Word, study of his Word and in prayer, we can surrender to the Lord with his help and his strength. He will direct our paths if we acknowledge all things to him. In verse 6, once we put our trust in God, not relying on ourselves, and continually acknowledging him, we will see more clearly the way in which he wants us to go and the way he wants you to go. He will show you. Is our God faithful? Is he going to steer us the wrong way? No, he never will. Bible says so many wonderful promises to us about our God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not allow us more than we can bear or be tempted by. In all things, he will bring about the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. These are wonderful promises we have that should help us to start with trusting the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding, and then acknowledging him in all our ways so that he can direct our paths. He will direct our paths and help us to go in the right direction, making, in a sense, our path straight. How does the Lord direct our path? Proverbs 3 is a book where a father is trying to pass on wisdom to his son so that his son's life would be blessed by length of days and peace. Look at chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Those are powerful verses that he's given us there, showing us about wisdom, to seek wisdom and what wisdom can do if we would only seek it his way and to seek his wisdom. Solomon wrote about the value that mercy and truth has upon one's life, so that one whom takes heed might find favor in the sight of God and man. That's a powerful thing. Often we'll pray for people when they're at their workplace and they're struggling, or they come to us and they're having some difficulties, and I'll pray just that they would find favor in the eyes of their bosses, that they'd find favor in the eyes of their fellow workers who are coming after them and bombarding them, mocking them, making it hard for them at work, is that they'd find favor. But whether that favor comes from them or not, we're still to acknowledge God in all things. It's not based upon God making our lives better or easier. It's based upon who he is. That's why we worship him. That's why we trust him. That's why we don't lean on our understanding, but we go to him for truth and guidance. That's why we can acknowledge him in all ways, and he will direct our paths. Not maybe, he will direct our path. That we are to honor the Lord with our possessions in verse 9, and not despise but accept the Lord's discipline in verse 11. That wisdom is more valuable than riches in verse 15, and those who find wisdom will sleep in peace, verse 24. We are to help those in need when we are able, verse 28. And we are not to contend with a man for no reason, verse 30. We are not to envy the success of wicked men, verse 31. And why? Because the Lord's curses rest on the house of the wicked, it says in verse 33. We're to let God be God. This chapter gives us so much to look at of how we are to walk in this world. And I know it's tough. I know there are people out there that rub you the wrong way. But you know what I try to remember is every time somebody's rubbing me the wrong way, I know that there's at least five of you out there that I'm rubbing the wrong way, at least. And it kind of keeps it in perspective for me that don't look at that. Try to do better with what I can with people. The wicked are out there. And if we spend too much time looking at how they're prospering or how they're not getting punished, it can take our focus away of trusting in our Lord. That he says, vengeance is his. He will one day take care of that. He will right all wrongs. I believe that. But now I got to live it. And that means living it out each day with my attitude and let it work in my character as we walk together in this world, brothers and sisters. We have got to start trusting the Lord with all things. And some of you out there are trusting the Lord with your very physical lives, with your bank accounts, with raising your children. Those of you that are parents out there, how much do we have to put our children in the hands of the Lord and trust him to watch over them, to hopefully guide them the right way when they're not listening to you and I, or they're not listening to his truth? There's so much we need to trust the Lord in as we walk in this world. So in light of chapter 3's context, the things we just went through, what does it mean to really trust in the Lord? Well, the Hebrew word translated here, heart, trust the Lord with all thine heart, means the inner soul of a person. It describes the heart, the passions, the understanding, the reflection, the conscience, and the will of you and I. It's more than just our thoughts, but it encompasses what we do with our thoughts. You know, we often hear that, how can we get what we have up here to make that distance down to our heart? It's one thing to know things up here, to be a hearer of the word. but it has to work its way to the heart to move us so that we become a doer of his word. Our heart is what we feel about what we believe to be true. Our heart moves us to action, to change a behavior. It has to begin in the heart. Yes, we have to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. It starts with the hearing. But how we know that we've been listening and we're allowing the word to do its work in us is, are we then now changing and doing the things more that Jesus would do and not that what we would be doing or that we've done in our past? We are to be a new creature. And God promises us many things in that. So in the depth of our human soul or the heart, we are to trust in the Lord. Remember, trust means to feel secure, to have confidence in something or someone. In our text here tonight, it's all about trusting God. Solomon is instructing us here to feel secure and to have confidence in the Lord with all our heart, feelings, emotions, passions, and convictions. In other words, we are to place our confidence in the Lord because of who he is and what he does. You know, our God is an amazing God. He's faithful. He's true. He can provide anything for us. I forget that sometimes. You know, God created this world, correct? How did he create it? He spoke it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Now, that's creation. That's creating. We can manufacture pretty good as people. We can make some neat things. But we are making things out of something that God's already given to us. None of us can create like God can. So if he can do that and he created us, who better to put our trust in than our creator? And a creator who says, I loved you first before you ever loved me. He loves us in spite of what we do. The scriptures tell us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That should melt our hearts. That should draw us to him to say, God, I surrender to you. I surrender my being, everything about me, my agendas, my thoughts, my speech, my health, everything. Because after all, you've given it all to me. And I didn't deserve any of it. To trust God in this manner, we must not lean on our own understanding. I believe that's very key. Our own understanding is how we look at life, how it makes sense to us, how we feel about it, and what we think we should do about it. We all have opinions. Well, if you ever have a problem, go ask some people their opinion on how you should solve it. And I've found that almost as many people as I ask is the amount of opinions I get. They all differ. And then my pride takes over and says, well, they're all wrong anyway, and I'm going to do it my way. Instead of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what would you have us do? Or asking those brothers and sisters that come to us, say, can we pray about this? If someone comes to you and says, I'm really struggling in an area and I don't know what to do, the first thing we should do is what the scripture tells us. It says to pray without ceasing. Our first action should be, let's pray. Let's put it in God's hands and let's see what he wants to do. Now, I think the reason we don't like to do that a lot of times is because we don't want to wait for the answer, or we don't like the answer we get. But if it is from the Lord, we're to accept it. That's what trusting him is. That's what leaning on his understanding and not our own is. That's what acknowledging him so he can direct our paths is all about, is surrendering our wills to him. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that which is holy and acceptable unto our God. For this is your reasonable act of service or worship to him. Worship isn't about playing the music up here. This is wonderful. We have a great time. I love how we can express our worship of God through music. But this is not worship. Worship is who we're worshiping. Who's the object of our worship? The very term worship is about worth ship. Who do we give worth to? Too often, I'm worshiping self. We give it to ourselves, or we give it to the things that we have, and not to our Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 is very powerful if we would truly take it to heart. Major spiritual battle takes place here. In effect, the battle for wisdom is won or lost in verse 5's instruction. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. That's where the battle's won and lost, right there. Because we can't not lean on our own understanding if we're not trusting the Lord. And we'll never get to acknowledging Him if we're not trusting Him and leaning on His ways and not our own. We will never then acknowledge Him. Can I trust the Lord with my heart? I hope our answer is yes. Can I trust the Lord with all that concerns me when the stakes are very high? Can I trust Him then? Again, I hope that I will. Which is why Solomon is encouraging us to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. It's great encouragement there. The word translated acknowledge is a Hebrew word to know, and it can mean anything from to perceive, to experience, or to discern. In other words, in all our ways, see it as the Lord sees it, acknowledging Him. You know the word confession? We hear that, or confess. That word has a lot of meaning to it. It doesn't mean just speaking the same thing as God. It means believing in it. When I confess to my Lord, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus in Romans 10:9, it's talking about, are we going to say and believe in the same things that God has said about Christ, about Himself, about sin? Are we agreeing with God, confessing with Him? And then it says, then if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we need to put our faith and trust wholly, 100% into our Lord. The context of chapter 3 demonstrates that all our ways includes everything from how we handle our wealth, how we accept discipline, how we value wisdom, whether or not we help others, and do we envy the gain of the wicked, as we read before. In this verse, God is calling us to His wisdom and understanding to acknowledge His ways above our own. The value of trusting the Lord with our heart and acknowledging Him in all of our ways is that He will direct our path. Now again, I don't know about you, but I would rather be where God wants me to be than where I think I would want to be. I want to be in His will. And I believe all of you that are here tonight want that, because you're here to hear His truth. We want to be in God's will for our life. That's the best place we can be. We're under His provision, His covering, His guidance, His love, when we're walking in His will for us. When we step out of that, God's still there. But boy, a lot of things can happen because we step out from under His covering. I don't want to be there. I've been there enough. The value of trusting the Lord with our heart and acknowledging Him in all our ways is He will direct our paths. To direct our path means to make straight, to lead, or to guide. Then there's a blessing in trusting in the ways of our Lord. If we honor the Lord with what we have plenty. I've noticed that with giving, any type of giving to the Lord, your time, your finances, your talents, your gifts, whatever it is, He just has a way of multiplying it. When we give unto Him and use it for His purposes, He can do amazing things with it. I like to tell my children, the Lord can do an awful lot with a surrendered heart. One surrendered heart, the Lord can change the world. A true surrendered heart. Look at some of the men and women we read about in the Scriptures. Look at the Apostle Paul, a man who was surrendered to God. Look what he did through him. If we delight in the Lord's discipline, we gain the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we seek wisdom, we get to lay down at night in peaceful rest. I like that one. Peaceful rest. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you toss and turn at night? or you lay down, maybe you're watching TV or doing whatever, and you go, you're starting to get tired, and as soon as your head hits the pillow, it's like, bing, I'm wide awake. The wheels start spinning, and you start thinking of the things of the day and the things of the next day, and you just can't slow yourself down. Start praying. Right there, just spend some time praying. I guarantee you'll fall asleep soon. Spend some time with our Lord. If we humble ourselves, the Lord will grant us his favor. The Bible says that the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think we all know what it's like to be prideful. This does not mean, though, that we will never experience hardships in this world. We're going to. In fact, the New Testament is clear that all those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. James 1:2, though, says we can consider it or count it all joy when we suffer. I know that's kind of when you first hear that, it's like joy, suffering. How do these two go together? Only with God. Only with our Lord. He says that we can consider or count it all joy when we suffer. Why? Because it's a testing of our faith that produces patience, endurance, or perseverance. And I think we all as Christians are going to need that. In the days ahead, we are going to have to learn how to endure through hardships, to persevere through afflictions. We're going to have to learn how to be patient with one another. Not just those outside the church, our own brothers and sisters. So that we can be an example of how it is to love one another with God's love and showing a world who doesn't know how to love. This is how God does things. And we're to be the examples. Proverbs, or walking on God's path for us may sometimes be difficult, but it will be under his watchful and sovereign care, working all things towards his plan. When I was studying this, I thought about when the disciples, Jesus told them after he had fed the 5,000, he'd done some miracles, and he said, I want you guys to go across over to Capernaum, get in the boat and go. And he didn't go with them. If you remember the story, he went up on a mountain to pray and to be with the Lord, his Father. But what's interesting is the scripture tells us he was watching them the whole time from that mountaintop. And it even says, as they toiled to try to get across the Sea of Galilee, and they toiled and toiled. It says he watched them. And then we know what he ends up walking on the water. Gets in the boat with them. And the next thing they know, it says, and immediately they were on the shore. Bible's exciting. I'd love to see that. I'd love to be on Lake Tahoe walking across the water, getting a boat. I'm on the other side of the shore. That'd be great. But see, our Lord, he doesn't take his eyes off of us, even when we're in the midst of work, toil, affliction, hardship. He's right there. He's probably never been closer if we just allow it. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our current self-esteem and feel-good culture that we live in today does not like the biblical admonition to fear the Lord. You know, you've seen the stickers, no fear. They don't want to fear the Lord. If they knew him, they might. To fear the Lord helps us, you and I, to see who he is and who we are in light of his lordship, basically seeing ourselves in light of who he is, to understand where we are. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times when I will put myself almost on the same plane in my own mind as with God, meaning that I'm not doing things the way he wants me to do them. Because again, if I think I know better than him, I'm putting myself on a plane with him or above him. And that is not a place you want to be. We want to remain submitted to our Lord, but it takes a fear of the Lord to stay in that realm. That he is a holy and righteous God, and that sin is no laughing matter before his holy throne. God takes sin very seriously. Until his ways become our ways, his thoughts become our thoughts, and our surrender to him alone is to him alone, we are trusting then in ourselves. If we're not becoming more like Christ, we're trusting too much in ourselves and this world the influences of the world. We no longer then fear the Lord, and that is a key. When we no longer recognize that He alone is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we no longer respect or recognize His authority over our moral lives, when we no longer admit that He alone sustains all of creation, when we no longer trust in the Lord, and when we no longer acknowledge His ways in all that we do, we are on a path to shameful foolishness. Look at verse 35 of Proverbs 3. It says here, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." I want to lean on the side of that verse it has about the wise to inherit His glory. I've done enough foolish things in my life, and I will still do foolish things because I'm still a sinful man. But I'm thankful that my Lord is there, and He's helping you and I to get out of that foolishness that we've lived in all our lives and to hopefully become wise in His knowledge. But again, we need to trust the Lord. We need to not lean on our own understanding. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways so He's directing our path. Then it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. It says then, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those are encouraging commands really to us. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Here is how I know that I'm walking in my flesh, in self-confidence, and I'm not trusting the Lord. I turn Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 around. And I go, when I don't depart from evil, it's because I'm not fearing the Lord. When I'm not fearing the Lord, I'm going to think that I'm pretty wise. If I'm thinking I'm pretty wise, I'm not acknowledging Him. And if I'm not acknowledging Him, then I'm not letting Him guide my steps. I am. Because I'm leaning too much on my own understanding. And it all brings me back to because I'm not trusting the Lord. If I want to turn that around, if you want to turn that around in your life, it starts with trust in the Lord. And you can read the rest again. That's where it has to begin. I'm off course too often due to my leaning on my own understanding of things. And that's what shows me that I'm not trusting the Lord when I'm walking in my flesh and not in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, Galatians tells us we will not fulfill. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're fulfilling too much of that, we're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And we need to draw close to the Lord to turn those things around. Our human insights are never enough. God's ways are incomprehensible, yet He is trustworthy. All the wisdom a person may acquire can never replace the need for a full trust in God's superior ways over our own. The path being straight is more than just guidance. It means God removes the obstacles, making a smooth path or way of life, bringing one to the appointed goal. Again, it doesn't mean that we never have some bumps in the road or some hard times, but we'll get to where He wants us if we follow Him. And the fear of God, it's a heart awareness of and a proper response to God. Those are evidences of a fear of God. If you want to know if you're fearing the Lord, you have to know in your heart, you have to be aware of the things in your heart, and you have to have a proper response, meaning we have to acknowledge God in all our ways when we're not leaning on our own understanding. Our God is a mighty God. He is an amazing God. The English language that we have, to me, the words that we have that we use for Him aren't enough. It doesn't describe Him enough, but it's what we have. And I want to encourage a lot of you tonight, as I try to encourage my children, is to stop using these words for everything else. I love pizza. Oh, that was amazing. Because when it comes time to describe God, I've kind of lost who He is because the words don't have the meaning behind them that they should. We serve an awesome God. A God who is not only the creator of the heavens and the earth, but He's our creator, you and I. And I want to try my best to allow him, through my surrendering to him, to put me where he wants me, wherever it is, even if it's in the midst of a hardship. I hope, like Job, we can praise him not only in the good, but also in the trouble. And we would worship him no matter what. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come before you, to be in your word. I thank you, Lord, for the truth that is held within your scriptures, whether it be the Proverbs, the Psalms, New Testament, Old Testament, Lord. I'm just very grateful. So, Lord, I pray that tonight, as we sing this last song, that we, Lord, would be thankful for all that you've given unto us, that we would be encouraged to turn all things over to you, to trust in our Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.